but I don't know if I ought to or not, you know. But I feel great. I really feel good. So we also want to congratulate you on your beautiful building. I couldn't get over it last night. I walked in and it just looked like an altogether different church building. And did a wonderful job, a real good job. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, we'd like to invite your attention to the book of James, chapter 1. And we do desire your prayers that you would pray for us. Had a little time getting settled on what the Lord would have us to preach. But that happens from time to time. But we feel this is what the Lord would have us to preach. And I feel it's a great need. A message is a great, great need today, what we're going to say, the Lord willing. And here in James chapter 1 and verse 13, and then we'll go to the book of Genesis. Let no man say when he is tempted, in verse 13, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Do not err, my beloved brother. We want to preach this morning on the subject of compromise by compromise. You know, when you backslide, you just don't take one great big giant step and there you are. Backsliding all begins with a small series of compromises. It happens gradually. You know, when we become lax in the service of the Lord, it just comes gradually over a period of time. It happens very slowly as a result of small series of compromises. Little by little. Compromise by compromise. We start lowering our standards. And then the changeover from truth to error. Right to wrong. And moral sin takes over. So, the supreme example, I believe, of compromise this morning is found in the book of Genesis in the life of Lot. If you have your Bibles there with you, we'd like for you to turn with us to the book of Genesis in chapter 13. When God called Abram from Ur to the land of promise, he took his nephew, Lot. But they no sooner got there, and a famine came. You're all familiar with this story. And they were forced to go to Egypt. But upon returning, they were both rich. They both had a lot of material goods. They had a lot of cattle, they had a lot of flocks, they had a lot of herds, they had a lot of servants, had tents, they had silver, gold, so on. And so the land couldn't support both of them. Abraham gave Lot the choice to go wherever he wanted. And so Lot made a lot of choices. Made a lot of bad choices. And so a lot of his choices that he made, a lot of the decisions that he made were wrong decisions. And I believe that we all have a tendency to do the very same thing. We have a tendency, I've done it down through the years, I've had a tendency to make some wrong choices, some wrong moves. But in Lot's choice, we can see that it was a series of little compromises, lowering his standards, that led to a lot of his problems. And I believe today that I see it in our churches today. And Lord willing, we're going to be preaching this message Sunday to our own people. But I see that we're lowering our standards. We're giving in. We're compromising. But we can't feel sorry for Lot, because I believe Lot did exactly what he wanted to do. Just like all of us. We do exactly what we want to do. And my advisor, every once in a while, she'll say, I'll get upset, you know, and she'll say, Roger, they're doing exactly what they want to do. You know? And so we see that Lot, he did exactly what he wanted to do. But we need to stop and realize also, try to remember that every choice that we make has a consequence. Every choice we make has a consequence. Some good and some not so good. Here in the book of Genesis chapter 13, we'd like to look at verse 10 and 11 and notice Lot's first compromise here. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld. There's one of his first mistakes. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose. Then Lot chose all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves. There's another mistake, big mistake that he made, the one from the other. We see that throughout his life, Lot loved to play with sin. He was right on the edge of sin, it seemed like, all the time. And a lot of God's people today want to play with sin. They want to live right on the edge. And so he had a desire, just like a lot of us today, he had a desire in pleasing himself. Pleasing himself. And so we see that Lot gave in. He gave in to his weaknesses. And we often do the same thing. We have some great lessons here this morning. We give in to our weaknesses. We're not any better than Lot. As I read about these brethren in the Old Testament, I see that we're the same way. We make some of the same choices. We do some of the very same things that he's doing here in the 13th chapter of the book of Genesis. And so any time that we give in to our weaknesses, watch out. Watch out. And so Lot looked all over the land and convinced himself that the land down toward the plain of Jordan by Sodom was most suited for him to make a goal and to grow a lot of things and to make a lot of money. And I'm sure he told himself that, boy, this is a good business decision. Forgetting all about the Lord, but this would be a real good business decision. Very selfish. Thinking about ourselves. Not thinking about the work of the Lord. Thinking about himself. And we do the same thing. I'm sure he said, boy, my flock would do a lot better down here. My herds will do a lot better down here. And so he made that choice. I'm sure he said, boy, this would be the best for my family. So he made that decision, and we'll see what happened to his family. And so he rationalized this choice, so it didn't look like compromise. You ever done that? No doubt we've all done that. And so this choice that he made came a long time of looking and a long time of longing there in verse 10. He wanted Sodom for himself. And this is exactly what God's people are doing today. He totally, completely, absolutely disregarded God and did exactly what pleased him. And that's what people are doing today. And so Lot's first compromise was moving near the city of Sodom. Moving near the city of Sodom. You know, we just don't jump right into sin. We just play with it. And then sin plays with us. Is that right? Young people, us middle-aged, Brother Smith brought me some pictures today back 25, 26 years ago when I was pastoring up in Traverse City. He said, I want to show you some pictures when you had hair. But we see that what Lot really wanted to do was he wanted to sit on the fence. He wanted to have it both ways. He tried to live in two worlds. And I believe with all of my heart this morning, this is killing our Baptist churches more than anything. You want to be Christians? You want to go to heaven? You want the Lord Jesus Christ? But you also want to do what everybody else is doing.
You want to enjoy the worldly things. And every time you try to do that, you get in trouble. Isn't that right? God deals with you. We want to have that worldly fun. You say, well, this is for the young people. No, it's not. Because us older folks, we want those toys too. We want that world too. But there's something else that's within us that wants to love the Lord, wants to serve the Lord, that wants to honor the Lord and please Him and glorify Him in our life. And so there's a constant warfare, there's a constant battle that's going on. Just like Lot had. We want to blend in and not be different from the world. We want it all, and we want it all our way. And it's killing us. It's killing our churches. We're not to blend in with the world. We are a peculiar people, as the Lord tells us. We are light, we are salt of the world. And so as God's people, we're to stand out. We're to be different. We are to have different values. We are to have different loves. We are to have different desires as God's people. But you know, there's a problem of sitting on the fence. If you ever sit on a fence, you know what I'm talking about. Because you can't remain indifferent very long. God has a way of shaking that fence just a little bit to get us to make the decision that we ought to make. And sooner or later, we fall off. And a lot of times we fall off on the wrong side. And when we fall off on the wrong side, we're going to get hurt. But it doesn't have to be that way. We don't have to get hurt. We just don't need to sit on the fence. Very uncomfortable sitting on the fence. So I believe today that we need to examine our lives. Where are you sitting? Right now in your Christian life, where are you sitting? And only you can answer that. You can answer it better than anybody here. Where you're at. You know exactly where you are at spiritually in your life right now. Every one of us. We can fake it to the brethren and to the sisters. But you can't fake it before the Lord. You know, and the Lord knows exactly where you're sitting right now spiritually. You know, sometimes we can put on a pretty good front. Huh? Can't we? Oh, we can come in church very pious. We can come in, boy, you know, we just had a knockdown drag out with our wife and on the way to church, and boy, we can come in the house of God, man, we can really put on a front. You know?
We don't read our Bible all week long. We don't pray. We just, you know, just go on our happy go merry way, and we come in on Wednesday night, and the preacher gets up and preaches, and he said, "Boy, that was a dead one." You know, you come back Sunday morning, and preacher gets up and preaches, and Sunday school teaches, the Sunday school teacher teaches, and man, boy, he didn't study. You know? And all the time, you know that it's your life. You know there's something wrong in your own personal life. You're straddling the fence. You're trying to get all that you can get out of the world, and then try to get all you can spiritually. You can't have them both. So that was his first compromise. Let's notice his second compromise. Look at verse 12 and 13. "And Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom." He just pitched it toward Sodom. He didn't get in Sodom, he just pitched it toward Sodom. "But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly," Brother Hall. That was way back here in the book of Beginnings. Brother Hall and I was talking a little bit about that this morning. And so, we see that his heart's desire became action. Became action. You know, the Bible says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And so he moved out of the hills into the plain of Jordan. He left the moral influence of his uncle, and he pitched his tent toward the glittering cesspool of Sodom. All of the immorality that Sodom had to offer. Now he's left the things of God. He's left that godly influence. He's left that fellowship. We need to again examine our life. Is there a lack of desire of Christian fellowship? You say, "Man, it was 5 years ago. Boy, it was strong 5 years ago. It was strong 10 years ago." And so we see that Lot placed the temporal above the eternal. And that's what I have found in our churches today. I find it in my own church. And you preach and you preach and you preach on these things. But we have placed the temporal above the eternal things of God. Do you place the temporal above the eternal? Has the church taken a secondary place in your life? Well, if I've got something more important, I won't be there Wednesday. Try that tomorrow about going to work. The most important thing that we have is our church. Serving the Lord. That's the most important thing that we have to do in our life. Is to honor the Lord, please the Lord, glorify Him. And we need to meditate on the decisions that we make every single day. His third compromise. Turn here in the 19th chapter of the book of Genesis. Look at verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat toward Sodom. Lot sat in the gate. He had moved of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, "Behold, now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and he did break unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, "Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them." And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, "I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly." It isn't long before we see Lot become hardened to sin. We can become hardened to sin, just like Lot did. We find Lot living in the city of Sodom. And I believe any time that a child of God places themselves in the middle of such immorality and wickedness, it won't be long before that child of God becomes hardened to sin. Lot was not careful. A lot of God's people today are not careful. Not only is Lot living in the city, he becomes a leader in the city. We find Lot joining in and sitting at the gates. In other words, Lot becomes one of them. You start messing around with ungodly influence and see where you end up. You're saved by the grace of God. You're a member of one of the Lord's churches. And you start messing around with some ungodly influence, and it is going to affect you. Did it not affect Lot? We can see very plainly here that it affected. It affected his life. It cost him his spiritual edge. He became so spiritually dull that he no longer realized how bad things had really become there. Huh? You know what happened? I believe sin kept on wearing him down, wearing him down, wearing him down. And sin will do the very same thing to each one of us. He no longer stood out as being different. Before long, he did not have a testimony. It's hard to have a testimony when you're allowing Satan's filth to rub against you. And so Lot had gotten used to the steady, deteriorating conditions of the life style there in Sodom. And that's exactly what happens to us. And you'll get used to those deteriorating conditions also. Just keep playing around with sin. Keep playing around with it. So, again, examine your life. And there's nothing worse than spiritually dull Christians. I believe Christians today are desensitized by the daily exposure to all the sinfulness and the filth on our TV sets. I believe that that is one of the worst things that has ever came into our home. Boy, I tell you what, I can remember old Brother Turner preaching on against the TV. I mean, he laid it out. And he'd lay it out, and I'd get mad as a hornet. And I'd say, I'm not going to get rid of my TV for nothing. He told me way back then all the sinfulness that would be going on in another 10, 15, 20 years. And I said to myself, man, what are you talking about? And you know what? He was absolutely right, and it's probably 10 times worse than what he said back then. We had our children in a Christian home for about 6 years. We didn't have a TV for 6 years. You know what? It never hurt them one bit. Let's notice the fourth compromise there in chapter 19. Look at verse 8. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as it is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now, will ye deal worse with thee than with them? And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath set us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. That's sad, isn't it? So we see that Lot finally reaches the fullness of his compromising. Not only has he become hardened to Sodom's sinfulness, he's willing to allow his family to participate in it. Isn't that something? It seems that God sent two angels to take Lot and his family out of Sodom before he destroyed it. When these two angels showed up at Lot's house, so did the community. They wasn't just curious. Lot offered his own daughters. He offered his own daughters to the men of that city. What kind of father would offer up his daughters to men for sexual pleasures? You know what I thought about preaching? Three things that sin still does.
Amen, brother.
And sin still takes a man further than he intended to go. I don't believe that Lot intended to go as far as he did. But look here what he's doing now. And you never thought that that sin that you had committed would take you as far as it's taken you, but you're there. And it'll keep you longer than you intend to stay. And it'll cost you more than you intend to pay. Now, am I right or wrong? I'm just going to smoke one joint. That's it. I'm going to drink one bottle of beer. That's all I'm going to drink. I did that when I was 16 years old. By the age of 24, I was a full-fledged alcoholic. But I never thought that that one bottle of beer would take me that far. And many have thought that that one marijuana cigarette would take him as far as it did, but there they are. Drug addicts. In jail. In prison. Never one time did they think that it would take them as far as it did, but there they are. And it's the same way with you and I. With the sins that you're playing around with in your own life right this very moment. Those sins of omission and those sins of commission. But we want to hang on just like he did. But look what it costs. You say, Brother Jones, I would never, never do that. Lot didn't think he would either, I'm sure. Examine your life again. How upset are you when your children blend in with those sinful worldly habits? Or do you actually encourage it? He never thought he would go that far. We feel the same way a lot of times. And then the angels literally took hold of Lot and his family to remove them out of that city. Lot, at this point, wanted to save his two sons-in-laws. He went and told them what the angels had said. And boy, I'll tell you what, I believe those sons-in-laws, they really took him seriously. Do you think they did? Huh? I don't believe they did. He had blown his testimony. He had blown his testimony. They had watched him compromise. Your children are watching you compromise. They're watching every move that you make. And deep down, they're saying, Dad, that isn't the decision I wanted. Our children today are crying out for discipline. They are wanting us to say no. Stick with it. Right. He had lowered his standards so much that his testimony was void. And we can make void our testimonies. Hey, Brother Jones, you're tearing us up one side and down the other. What do you think about myself? The Lord spoke to me through this. I didn't want to preach this. But I believe that this is where we are today. I believe this is where our churches are at today. Listen, our sins affect our children. Your sins affect your children. But even with all of this, Lot lingered. He lingered. The two angels literally had to take Lot and his family by the hand and physically remove them outside those gates. Lot wanted to linger. He wanted to linger in sin. And that's what God's people are doing today, lingering in sin. And as Lot and his family are on the way out, his wife couldn't leave that sin very easily. She looked back. She looked back toward Sodom, and when she did, something happened. She turned into a pillar of salt. Brother Jones, that was back then. God's not going to do that today. He may not use that particular thing, but He can use some other things. Do you like to linger in worldliness this morning? Good questions, aren't they? Do you like to linger in worldliness? Let's notice the last compromise. He allowed sorrow and disappointment to overtake him. Now he's all alone on the mountain, watching the smoke. these several cities rising to heaven. You think the whole world's been destroyed. The daughter's getting drunk. And then they lie with him. And they have children by him. Isn't that sad? Lot had compromised with sin. And now Lot was reaping the harvest of bitterness. Listen. Whatsoever. Underline that about three times and circle it a couple times. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You cannot play with sin. Because sin will play with you. You can't invite Satan to look into your life without expecting him to also come in. We don't realize how serious this message is, I don't believe, sometimes. And so when Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom, he never intended to fall into all of the immorality of sin that he fell into. He didn't start out saying, I'll openly accept sin and sleep with my daughters and all of this. Actually, if you had told Lot all of that in the beginning, that he would do all that he did, isn't that something? But it happened. And it happened because he compromised his faith. It happened because with each move, he became a little closer to sin and accepting it more and more until the Lord drew him in. So the bottom line of the whole message is one compromise at a time. One compromise at a time.